Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a lot to cover this week. Of course, I guess that's about the same every week, particularly the last two or three months. It is just rat-a-tat-tat. News and news behind the news. So, here's what we're going to do today. Number one, there's a couple letters I'm going to read you that I've gotten from listeners concerning, for the most part, the Social Security warnings I've been sending out and the clues for you checking out your Social Security benefits, some of which are simply going to go away on April 30th if you don't get off your butt and get it done. And it was really nice to receive these letters. Number two, we're going to talk a little bit about Barack Hussein Obama and his mealy mouth, disgusting, absolutely reprehensible behavior and verbal attacks on Western values, the United States values, the United States in support of Muslims, and again his lies to us about ISIS and radical jihad, which of course he can't mention. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton in the same vein. I have a few thoughts on Donald Trump, whom you know I have been supporting, and on Ted Cruz and the Republican mess that's being created. I'm also going to alert you to, like, the top rhino. And that's really saying something, because there are a bunch of rhinos. It's a herd of rhinos in the Republican Senate. But the top rhino of the week. I'm going to start giving out awards for the top rhino of the week. The top Republican Obamatron of the week. I'm going to remind you of something that Obama's chief of staff, McDonough, said. And it's going to tie into what Obama the Wonderful is doing and saying and lying about in the last several weeks, particularly this week with the Brussels attack and ongoing. Next week, by the way, I'm going to have a complete kind of expose on Obama's quote-unquote moderate and centrist nomination to the Supreme Court, and I'm going to expose the Republican senators who are actually beginning to cave about appointing this guy. It's just friggin' unbelievable. That's all I can say. I am going to give you the first installment of the long-promised United States government funding of MAS and their funding using our tax money of terrorist organizations and activities. This is the first installment. I've promised it for a long time. It'll open your eyes. I flat guarantee you. And I'm going to tie that into the Muslim Brotherhood, which kind of runs this whole show, both overtly and covertly. I've talked about their white paper, civilizational jihad, etc., etc., etc. And I think you'll find it, I'd like to use the word insightful, but it's far beyond insightful. If I have time today, I'm going to give you some stats, some really interesting political stats, on Republican control of state houses and governorships, which is critical going into the 2016 election. And finally, I'm going to, if we have time, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my thoughts on where this is all going with ISIS terror and, shall we say, the strangulation of our military and intelligence apparatus intentionally from the very top of this administration. I think you'll find that insightful, too, if we have time to get to it today. If not, we will get to it next week. So, let's start, because we have a busy, busy show, and I am under strict admonition not to go over my time. All right. Let's see. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about my producer's motioning to me. No, we're not going to talk about that first. We're going to talk about the fact that I am sick and tired of being told by the talking heads, the pundits, the politicians, and particularly Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, how scared we are, how terrified we are, how petrified we are of the Islamic threat. Well, they don't use the word Islamic. They call it extremism. They call it terror. They don't call it by what it is. Well, let me tell you. I don't know what you guys think. This is one American, hayseed, that is not scared at all. But I am royally pissed off. I mean, my eyes are crossed over the treacherous and treasonous undermining of our national security. I am ticked off over the image of a president tangoing and waving next to a Castro at a Cuban ball game as Americans lie torn apart by nails and bolts from his buddy Islamist terrorists. I am incensed that, again, he looks into the camera. The guy who told us that ISIS were JVs, then last November told us ISIS was contained. And he looks into the camera this week, the day of the Brussels deal. And by the way, he spent 51 seconds talking about it. 51 seconds. That was his total discussion of Brussels. 51 seconds. He spent more time doing the big wave at the ball game with Raul. I'm sick and tired of him looking in the camera and telling us that ISIS, and therefore the words he won't utter, Islamic extremism, is not an existential threat to America. ISIS is the outfit who took, listen to my shows a year ago, you can type it in the search bar, 80 pounds of enriched nuclear material from Mosul University. ISIS is the outfit who has now, absolutely, our intelligence agencies have testified before Congress, developed and are using chemical weapons against enemies, including the Kurds in Syria and Iraq, and trying to perfect chemical weapons in laboratories which we won't bomb because there might be collateral damage. This is the ISIS who is smuggling people across an absolutely open border that, under orders from this president and this administration and his lackeys, his fellow socialist Islamists in the Department of Homeland Security, has demanded ICE forget, that ICE not enforce. I want you to know, folks, we have an open border right now. We're not talking about a poorly manned border. We're not talking about a partially enforced border. We have an open border on the south. It is come on in, partner. ICE is under orders to release illegal aliens, no matter what their nationality, by the way, if they are caught coming into the border. They bring them to the detention center. From there they go. Anywhere they want in the United States, no tracking. This is, this would be like FDR inviting Nazi populations into America in the year 1941. Because they're fleeing Hitler. Look, Like I said, I'm not terrified and I'm not scared. I am pissed off. And his behavior, although not a surprise, given the fact he is a socialist Islamist, his behavior is reprehensible. And I don't want to hear this crap about how he's a Christian. He hasn't been to church in 9 months, folks. Now, I guess you can be Christian and not go to church in 9 months, but why don't we say it's probably unusual? You'd probably go to church on Christmas, maybe? Huh? What do you think? How about Easter? He's not going to church on Easter. So at best, this guy is an agnostic with Muslim sympathies. I personally think it's far worse than that. Look, as I tell you what this government is doing in terms of funding mosques in this show, and what he has done to infiltrate his government with Muslim Brotherhood folks, the same Muslim Brotherhood that I will tie into this mosque funding, the same Muslim Brotherhood he supported in Egypt and gave $1.5 billion of arms, equipment, and money to, but would not give to and has not given to the secular government that kicked Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out. I think you can connect the dots. You know, actions speak louder than words, and his actions are unequivocal. Unequivocal. And you know the other thing I'm pissed off about while I'm on my little rant here? I'm pissed off about the government of the United States standing up and clapping because they got one guy. They got supposedly the number two guy, supposedly the finance minister. I mean, hooray for the SEALs and special forces that got them. Hats off to you soldiers. But if you think that in this global war against terror, by the way, words that have been outlawed by the administration as of 3 years ago, in this global war against terror and against ISIS, who is now in 20 countries, who has committed acts of terror in Western nations, that have killed 1,100 and wounded more than 1,100 with the Brussels attack in last year, who, along with their affiliates, have killed tens of thousands of people in the Middle East and Africa in the last year in terror attacks and brutal slayings. Never mind, you know, Barack and Hillary are so concerned about women's rights. Never mind the sexual enslavement of thousands of women, the killing of thousands of more women and their families, Yazidis, Christians, moderate Muslims. For our government to say, oh, what a great victory, we killed one guy. Well, you know, I'm not a military tactician. Maybe I was in another life, but I'm not in this life. But let me tell you, killing one guy when you're fighting an army who's kicking your butt is a nice day. But it's no more than a day. It's not even a month. It's certainly not a year. It ain't a battle, and it's absolutely a far cry from the war. And the fact that they have to trump up and publicize and jump up and down and have press conferences that they knocked off one slimy terrorist tells me just how bad this deal's going. Think about it. When you're kicking butt, you don't have to spend a full day with a full complement of cabinet-level people in supposedly the most powerful country on the planet crowing about one guy getting offed. All right. I'm going to take a little break and calm down here. breathe. Om. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because this will be kind of fun. I'm going to read you. We'll take a little break from the news. I got a whole bunch of letters this week. I got three letters, though, and I rarely read things on the air. But I'm going to, in this case. These people all gave me permission to do so. Here was the first one. I listen to you every week. Your news is insightful, unlike anything I see or listen to. It gives me a whole different big picture perspective. Your warning about Social Security this week, I got this from the last week's show, by the way. You guys who didn't listen to it, you should. Your warning about Social Security this week was a godsend. I had heard about the dirty tricks, but with your five key words, I suddenly had direction. I have filed my restricted application, while receiving death benefits on my deceased spouse's account, and because of that, can forestall my retirement benefits until age 70. I am 65. In all, I figure your show last week made me an extra $103,000, if I am lucky enough to live to age 85. Thank you, thank you, thank you. P.S. I love your books. Rita Sullivan, Colorado. Here was another letter. I am rarely motivated to write a media personality. However, I want to say that your show, this was handwritten, so excuse me, folks, that your show, the week following Scalia's death, was the most comprehensive in media. It was the first time I understood fully the cases before the court, and the motive, method, and opportunity that I have become, I am sure of, his assassination. I want to thank you very, very much on your Paul Revere on Social Security. It moved me from my inertia, and now I will receive my divorced spousal benefits from age 62 to 66, a total of almost $72,000 that I never even knew I had coming. That's kind of cool, huh? Those two letters. I mean, if I only affected those two lives with last week's show, I'm a happy clam. I'm sure I affected more. And for those of you who haven't motivated, let me remind you, your grab for what you are absolutely entitled to and have paid in for will no longer be possible after April 30th. That is a scant 5 weeks away. Do not delay. Time kills deals. And I'll read you a third letter here, very short. I just listened to your new Threads West audiobooks. They are fantastic. I didn't want to get out of the car and actually spent my lunch hours the last few weeks behind the wheel in the parking lot at my office. More, please. Susie Winthrop, Missouri. Anyway, some fun little letters for you. And the audiobooks, folks, if you go to the website, threadswestseries.com, that's www.threadswestseries.com, you can buy what I call the hard copy audiobooks, which are thumb drives. They are really cool. You can listen to them on your computer, listen to them on your phone, plug them into your car. No more discs to melt on the dashboard, get scratched, get lost. You know how that goes. And they are wonderful. And as of this week, first time, you can go to any of your favorite online audio stores, you know, Audible, Amazon, CDX, wherever you happen to go, and you can dial them up, and you can download them and listen to them that way if that's your preference. You can also get the links to all those pages on the website, threadswestseries.com. And I've listened to them myself, and they really are great. Jack Baer, a nationally known reader who does a lot of big car commercials on TV, you'll recognize his voice, does the reading, and he really does the stories more than justice. When the author sits spellbound behind the wheel of his one-ton pickup, listening to his own book that he has edited and read and who knows how, what, 100 times, that's usually a sign of a good audiobook. All right, now, we've taken our little ohm moment. I am settled down from my froth, which began the show. And now we are going to talk about... We are going to talk about... And I'm going to remind you of what Obama's chief of staff said. This was January 13th. I talked about it on a previous show. His chief of staff, Dennis McDonnell, this is on Sunday talk shows, kind of had a warning for the country, you know, that in his final year of office, Obama will, quote, indulge in audacious executive action, end quote. And that the president meant when he said he would, quote, go it alone if Congress wouldn't back him. And he said, quote, we'll do audacious executive action over the course of the rest of the year. I'm confident of that, end quote. Obama and our team will endeavor to make sure his executive orders can't be undone by Congress at a later date. McDonnell said that Obama was, quote, not going to be constrained by law, Congress, or the Constitution, and is considering executive actions on any and all issues. And the main question that President Obama asks himself as to why he shouldn't is, quote, why not? I want you to keep that in mind over the course of this year, folks, and the course of my shows with you. All right. Back to our friends, Barry and Pillory. So, Barry assures us that ISIS and Islamic extremism, words he can't utter, are not existential threats to the United States. In fact, he used the words, I watched it three times because I couldn't believe it, is, you know, they don't make anything. They're not an existential threat. What do you mean they don't make anything, Barry? They make war. They make death. They make bombs. They make chemical weapons, and they're trying to make a dirty bomb. They do make things, even if it's not a Fiat or a Ford or a widget. And Hillary delivered a supposed, according to the press, major address. Oh, yes, Pillory, baby! She took a day off from siphoning funds out of her foundation that foreign governments had given her as bribes and deleting emails off her in breach of federal law server, and gave us a major address on how she was going to handle it. Well, she wouldn't say the words. This extremism, this violence, besides taking away our guns. And I don't know if you guys saw the speech. It was, without a doubt, the most boring. I mean, she could have been a robot up there reading from the teleprompter. That's how much emotion, or lack thereof, was in her delivery. And her points on her great war, on her plans to keep America and you and I safe, boy, that's an oxymoron. On America and you and I safe, they were exactly the same crapola that we have heard for years from this administration. We're going to form a coalition, and our great coalition, and our extreme efforts, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, absolutely make me friggin' puke. And she had her head so far up Obama's butt. Excuse the visual. That she wiggled her ears, he would have been tickled. In defending his policies and all the great things he is doing. By the way, at the same time, there were congressional hearings this week. Number one, our top intel people were telling us that the threat has never, ever, ever been greater. In fact, Clapper said in his 50 years in the intelligence services, he has never seen anything like the quote-unquote diverse array of professional threats that we face. Something like that, unquote. And the military admitted that our bombing campaign of ISIS is actually at a nine-month low this month. A nine-month low. But John Kerry, our spaz, soft-spined, mushhead marshmallow of a progressive, the guy is just pathetic. I mean, Hillary is corrupt and scurrilous. Barack Obama is treasonous and evil, along with his entire staff. And John Kerry is just plain pathetic. He looks like a defensive puppy dog. He had one interview this week where he tried to tell us that we were doing more than we've ever been doing before. You know, that the tide has turned, that these attacks across Western Europe, etc., were just acts of desperation. And they were proof that we were kicking ISIS's butt. Yeah. Oh, my. Wow, how stupid do you think we are, John? Really? Really? This is the guy we had negotiate with Iran? No wonder they ate our lunch. Not to mention that it was intentional that they ate our lunch. That is what Barry wanted, was for them to eat our lunch. So, let's talk a little bit about your government and mine. You know, that government we pay taxes to? That government of the people, by the people, and for the people? That government that exists only to protect our rights and keep us safe, and spends our money so wisely for our benefit. Let's talk about what that government does to fund terror. The Kansas City Mosque, this is the first of a number of installments, folks, because I can't fit it all into one show, and I don't want to lose you in details, because each segment that I'm going to be bringing your way is in its own way equally powerful. I don't want one detracting from the other. We're going to start with a Kansas City mosque. It happens to be owned by an Islamic umbrella organization. You're going to hear about this a lot in these segments. This organization just so happens to have deep ties to the U.S. arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, which just so happens, and I'm going to give you a quick rundown here in just a moment, to have all sorts of plants appointed by Barry and crew in the White House, in the Justice Department, in the Department of Homeland Security, and in the security agencies of the United States during Barry's tenure in office. You think that's an error? You think that's a mistake? You think he didn't know? I digress. The Kansas City Mosque has received millions of dollars in federal grants over the past several years. This is right out of the federal spending database, by the way. This is government figures, folks. Government figures. The Islamic Center of Greater Kansas City has received, if you want to know the exact number, $2,739,891 from, drum roll please, the Department of Agriculture. Wow. Now, if you wanted to kind of hide money, you wanted to hide the path of money, you know, you probably wouldn't give it from the State Department. You wouldn't give it from the Defense Department. The place to really kind of funnel money out of the Treasury would probably be the Agricultural Department, because who in the mainstream media watches what the Agricultural Department does, right? I mean, that's just a department that's kind of run to keep them bitter clingers in line, to keep them fat, happy, and funded for their hay and their beets and all that kind of stuff. The Department of Agriculture. The most recent payment that this mosque received, by the way, was $327,436. And they got it October 1. That's 5 months ago. If you dig into the property records for the Kansas City Mosque, the mosque is owned, the property is owned by the North American Islamic Trust. Remember that name, you're going to hear it a lot. Or NAIT, NAIT. NAIT, you come to find out if you do some research, acts as a financial holding company for many Islamic organizations and mosques. And it offers Sharia-compliant financial products to Muslim investors. It operates Islamic schools, and I'm talking about Islamic schools, not, this is not your Christian Sunday school. They are like masadras, you know, like Barry went to in Indonesia. And it owns, you'll love this, 300 other mosques throughout the United States. It kind of sounds like a little network to me. Now, NAIT was a spawn of and brainchild of an idea of the Muslim Brotherhood. Huh, imagine that. My, what a tangled web we read. It was founded in 1973. It was actually an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood-backed Muslim Students Association. One of NAIT's connections, there many of them are controversial, maybe the most controversial, was in 2007 and 2008. You might remember this, although the media didn't play it up as usual. The Holy Land Foundation terror financing case. Anybody remember that? Digging back in your memory? This was a Muslim Brotherhood-linked organization, like the Islamic Society of North America, which is called ISNA, and the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE. I know you've heard that name. NAIT, CARE, ISNA, and the Holy Land Foundation were named as co-conspirators in this federal terror case. But they were never indicted. Gee, kind of sounds like Hillary. At the Holy Land Foundation trial, there was evidence presented by the government that ISNA diverted funds from the accounts it held with NAIT to institutions that then funneled the money to Hamas and to Musa Abu Mazark, a senior Hamas leader. Remember, Hamas, Hezbollah, Middle East, Israel, Palestine. Okay. The federal prosecutors in that case, by the way, quote, established that ISNA and NAIT were among those organizations created by the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood, unquote. And that, quote, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of checks drawn from ISNA's accounts and deposited in the Holy Land Foundation's account with NAIT were made payable to the Palestinian Mujahideen, which is the original name, listen to this, for Hamas's military wing. Oh, it gets better, folks. It gets better. The United States government finally, to give you a little background, designated Hamas as a foreign terrorist organization in 1997 and designated Hamas as the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. I want you to know that to this day, particularly under Barry and Valerie's stern rule and stern support, the Muslim Brotherhood has not itself been designated as a terrorist organization by the United States government. Now, it has been designated a terrorist organization, you'll be keen to know, by virtually every other civilized country in the world, the most recent being the United Kingdom. The British government, in fact, and this is, let's see, in December of 2015, they they issued a report on the Muslim Brotherhood, which was nothing less than scathing. It noted, I'm going to just summarize, it's quite a report. They noted the Muslim Brotherhood remains supportive of Hamas, that much of its ideology and many of its tactics are, quote, contrary to our values and have been contrary to our national interests and our national security, unquote. All right. I'm going to divert from this funding thing and come right back to it. This will tie in for you. This is just kind of a refresher because I've gone over some of this before with you. You can type in the search bar Muslim Brotherhood. You can type in the search bar Muslims in the White House or Muslims in the administration. Here are just a few Muslim Brotherhood folks that have been appointed by Barry and Valerie over the last 3 to 7 years in positions of high power. And this is just, I'm just going to go down it really, really quick. By the way, I want you to know that the Muslim Brotherhood is forming a political party in the United States. That's right. A full-fledged political party. The new party is made up of fundamentalist Muslims. And pursuant to the white paper I told you about last week and have referenced before that was found in Virginia by the FBI in 2004, has a main goal of, quote, being to take over the United States from within. Their plans are to place, I'm reading, their plans are to place their candidates into elections to win so that they can destroy blah, blah, blah. So, Obama has the former Homeland Security Secretary, your friend of mine, Janet Napolitano. She appoints Arif Alakhan to the Homeland Security Council, which is called the HSAC. He is a radical Muslim, not a moderate Muslim. There were five other individuals who have, you know, deep-seated Muslim ideology, Islamist ideology. Remember, we've talked about that. Muslims are peaceful folks who follow the Quran, believe in Allah, and believe in secular government, put the Constitution of the United States first. America is their home country. You know, they are Americans who happen to be Muslim, just like there are Americans who happen to be Jewish, and Americans who happen to be Catholic, and Americans who happen to be, you know, it's no great shakes. But we're talking about Islamists. Islamists believe that Islam is the only religion, believe that Sharia is the only law, and believe that anything to do with Western values, constitutional democracies, or republics, is antithesis to Allah, the Quran, and Islam. And anyone who backs those foreign values is an infidel. And that the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad calls on them. It is their duty to wage jihad and to kill or convert the infidels. That's the difference between Islamists and Muslims. Okay, so five other Islamists that have been appointed to high positions by Barry, Valerie, and crew includes Mohammed El-Bieri, another Homeland Security advisor. In fact, this gentleman is so over the top that he's given speeches, including at a 2004 conference in Dallas, Texas, and that speech was entitled A Tribute to the Great Islamic Visionary, which happened to be in honor of the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran. This guy's in our Department of Homeland Security. Not only is he in our Department of Homeland Security, folks, but he was like the only person, and one of just a few, that was given access to the highly sensitive DPS database that Homeland Security and local intelligence community interests, etc., which contain hundreds of thousands of intelligence reports on potential terrorists or people with potential terrorist ties. I reported to you several weeks ago, briefly, and I was outraged, that we've come to learn that thousands of names were purged summarily from this database just in the last several months to, quote-unquote, protect the privacy of people who could be innocent. Now, far be it from me to suggest that an Islamist with Muslim Brotherhood ties who loves Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the only Islamist with access to this list, might have been involved in this purge of names from the database. Oh, that's just a coincidence. And, you know, there's no coincidences in life, right? Okay. Let me give you another guy. Oh, by the way, did you know that Barack Obama's brother, Malik, he finances the Muslim Brotherhood. Not only that, one of Barack Obama's foundations, which was founded by Malik, also funds terrorist organizations. And finally, Malik, baby, when questioned by Egyptian media, this was buried by the American press, you may remember something about it 2 or 3 years ago. Egyptian media came out and said Obama is a member, an actual member of the Muslim Brotherhood. When Malik was questioned about that, he did not deny it. Interesting. And you know the credo of a progressive, deny everything, admit nothing, and divert. He didn't even bother to deny. Interesting. Maybe he just needed a glass of water and his throat was parched and he couldn't get the words out. What do you think?